Who art thou that judgest? Is the title of today's Sunday school class. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. William MacDonald said well, some judging of others was occurring among the Christians at Rome. But such criticizing is wrong, because the domestic servant is to be evaluated by his master and not by his fellow believers. Therefore, Paul concluded, and he will stand, or he shall be made to stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Even if a believer despises the scruples, William MacDonald wrote, of another Christian, God can defend the second person. If believers would spend more time in self-examination than to keep an eye on the shortcoming of others, there would be needful peace and harmony amongst the body of Christ. The believer is precious in God's sight. The Apostle Paul is moved by the Holy Spirit to instruct believers so that they become better Christians. Be rid of that critical spirit. Rather, have a poverty of spirit, as Jesus taught. The church would be a much better place for the believers to come if we would not be so censorious, right? In looking at the fault of the people around us. If we would spend time in self-examination, then to keep an eye on the shortcoming of others. This is what we, in our fallen nature, do best. But in our exalted nature, in this resurrected life, in the spirit-filled Christian life, there is a difference. Rather than keep an eye, right, to the fault of others, rather let us have an eye to our own sin and our own faults. Matthew 5, verse 3 to 4 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The resulting blessings are given in Matthew 5, verse 7 to 8. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So when God rid us of the critical spirit, but gives us rather a poverty of spirit, as Jesus has taught us, then we belong to the kingdom of heaven. And we shall be comforted. True comfort comes to our hearts. True restfulness resides in our soul. Why is it so? Because we have made right with God. When we have made right with God, God also teaches us how to make right with the people around us. So here it says, we have obtained mercy, and therefore we learn how to be merciful. And because God has changed us, therefore, we seek to live a life that is pure, that is holy before God. And so, our demeanor is changed. Why? Because God helped us to see that we cannot read hearts. We cannot discern that well the motive and the actions of others. Well, With a poverty of spirit, we learn how to be merciful to others. We realize that we are no better than our neighbor. With a mournful spirit for our sins, we are blessed with purity of heart. Isn't it so true? And how important it is that Jesus comes to teach us and show us the better way, the heavenly way. And so may the Lord protect and bless His body, the body of His people, His church, with peace and harmony. Who art thou that judgest? Rather, let us look to God and seek the will of God and do His holy commandments. Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it not unto the Lord. The Jewish Christians chooses to observe the Jewish special days, like the Passover, whereas the Gentile Christians observe no such days. Such was the disparity among the church, consisting of Jewish and Gentile Christians, and the observance of it became a source of disunity and contention. The Apostle Paul's advice is that this should not be. Let the Jewish Christian, carry on observing the Jewish festivals. Of course, for Gentile Christians who came out of idolatry, observing pagan holidays and festivals often are abandoned. Right? No longer during those days whereby offering is made to the gods, that we would participate. Of course, now they observe the Lord's Day. We observe the Christian Sabbath day, the day of resurrection. So the Apostle Paul is urging the Christians to exercise forbearance and latitude for deferring practices amongst them on such matters. So this can become a teething contention amongst the people of God. So Paul now writes, right, in order that in our daily interaction, we said rubbing, when we, you know, interact with one another, that it will not be friction and tension, but that the Lord may shower to His church Christian grace, so that our conversation would be very much Christ-like. And how can we do so? Well, if we would take time to dwell in the Lord, dwell in Christ, dwell in His Word, dwell in the things of God. You know, if you take time to know God, study His Word, study His Word through the writings of God's people through the ages, right, you'll find that when you come and sit together on the table, you would talk about Christ. You talk about, I've read this, how it has edified my heart, how He has strengthened me, how it has caused me to be able to overcome this temptation, how He has caused me to be able to grow in the faith. And we must, and we seek that we would think on these things, you see. And so the church must go through, this is what the Paul is saying to the church, a time of renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind. So that we would be focused on those things that would build up the faith. And what is it? In Christ Himself. The riches of Christ. And you may ask me, oh, it's so alien to me. Well, it's not too late to begin, you see, that we would take time to know God better, to know Christ better, through the diligent meditating upon the truth of God. So if you spend time, you said this week I have been meditating upon our memory verse, right? Our memory verse says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." How is it practical to you? How does it help you? Well, as we take time to know God and His ways, as we take time to learn, to pray and to seek God, and to be quiet before Him, right, you find that our conversation, our interests, right, will be so down-to-earth. Right? Down-to-earth, meaning that, you know, we are speaking of practical Christian living. The truth of God's Word that would guide us to walk with Him, how we learn to confess our sins, how we learn to be quiet before God. There is a renewal, there is a change in the mindset. And then you see that all the disparity becomes, all this tension would ease, right, as we exercise forbearance. And Hendrickson observed, he says, "We must admit that we cannot now determine in what sense the weak Christ members of the Roman Church regarded one day as being better than another, while they still observe and honor the Lord's Day, that is the first day of the week," he adds further. "No one must do what is contrary to the dictates of his own conscience, as illuminated by the word, let not the weak condemn the strong, but also let not the strong look down on the weak." So you realize that we are all in different stages of our Christian faith, Christian walk. One who is just know God and walking in the truth, learning, may get offended easily. And so we can understand why they get offended, why this offense comes to them, because they are growing in their Christian faith. And therefore, the weaker, the stronger bears the weaker, and that the Lord would grant peace amongst His body. The principle here is that we make any observance of days or practices, for that matter, for the honor and glory of God, not for self-gratification. That's the principle. Right? We do all things so that God's name may be exalted, God's name may be magnified, and this is what this is a good principle by which we learn giving thanks to God. "He that regardeth the day," verse 6, "regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it." In other words, We do all things unto God. You serve unto God. You do all things for the honor and glory of God. And so, when we understand this, then we would learn to take, observe, and handle, right, our duties honorably. And here, the Christian life, you'd find that it's very much a life of thanksgiving to God in all his daily activities. Right? You know, a Christian life is a happy life, a thankful life. Right? Here, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, says, "For he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks." So, whether you eat or you don't eat, to one he may eat, to the Lord. To another he may not eat. It's to the Lord. So Paul is saying that as long as it's to the Lord, why squabble if it's to the Lord? And so it's a principle that God gives us, right, that we would give thanks because God has freed us from the bondage of sin and gives us a glorious liberty to live in holiness for the honor and glory of God, undergirded by his grace. So this is a trust of the Apostle Paul's exhortation. The Christian life involves much self-examination, contemplation, and alignment to the will of God as revealed in the Scripture. It is inward-looking rather than outward-looking. As such, there is little focus on the piety of others, rather than on one's own piety before God. And this is really what matters for the Christian, for he is accountable to God for all his actions. It's only when we do so, right, that you realize that we can be the Lord, the salt and the light for the Lord. It is not to say that the Christian ignores how fellow believers live their lives. Rather, his focus is on the building up of fellow believers in the faith. The thankful Christian is a blessing to fellow believers. Isn't it true? When you meet someone who is always thanking the Lord, not sulky, but very thankful to God, right? Every time you meet up with a person, not that, you know, there is no rebuking of sin. No, it's not that. But rather, a thanksgiving heart, right? Because we know that God has forgiven us, you see. And so the thankful Christian is a blessing to fellow Christians. He encourages fellow believers to thanksgiving and praise for all the goodness to his children. And you notice that many of the Psalms express the psalmist's praise and thanksgiving to God. So if you want to learn to praise God, study the Psalms. Right? There are 150 Psalms, 30 days a month, in a month. So you can read 5 Psalms a day. The Lord bless you. Psalm 100 is one example. We call it the old hundreds. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and come to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? Why do we worship God? Verse 5 tells us, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That is why we thank God. You know, before we walk in here, you see the words there written outside. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Indeed, every time we come for worship, it must be because we come because he has given us life, and that we seek to renew our life in him. You see, without that renewal, if we allow the old self to hanker us, the old self to drag us down, pull us down, the old self to strangle us, that's no good. You see, that's why we worship God, so that our heart will be on higher ground, so that we would be lifted up, right, to above our depravity, that we have a spirit of God to overcome. And how happy it is, right, when our hearts are right with God, when we are happy with God, in the sense that we are happy in a, living in the sight of presence of God, then, you know, we are also a blessing to the people around us, right? Right? We are a blessing to the people around us because they can feel the joy that is in us, the Spirit of God that fills our hearts with God's love. And that's so wonderful, isn't it? And so the Lord wants us to, by His grace, renew our minds so that we may live that better life, that life that would bring honor and blessing to our Father in heaven and to the people around us. What a joy it is to know God and to be His children. And may the Lord grant us that His grace to walk with Him, to follow Him, to bless His name, and to be strengthened to receive His Spirit and to do His good will. May the Lord send us forth this new week to do His bidding. Wherever He places us, may we be a blessing to the people that He brings us to meet. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Send us forth with Thy Holy Spirit and bless us with Thy presence, Thy cheer, Thy comfort, Thy encouragement, Thy peace, Thy joy. Grant us a heart full of thanksgiving. Forgive us of our sins. Strengthen us by Thy grace. This we pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.